Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Blake Rapino here down in Louisiana every Wednesday right here in this slot. Blake, how you holding on, bud? How you doing?
Bill King, good morning. We're doing well. Just starting to shake up around the bayou, Bill. I think people are getting ready for football season. We have a little bit of idea of what's going to happen. Some high school football teams, this will be day three for them, Bill. So a lot of people are getting excited around here that sports will be back.
Are they padded up at the high schools right now?
Not even close. I think, Bill, they're having 24 students with one coach. They will do, for the bigger schools, they're doing four installations at a time. So four during the day, which has made some coaches, I think, a little bit tired and worn out because they're not used to having these four installations. They had to be kind of more scheduled out as normal. But for these smaller schools, Bill, you have 50 kids, you do two, it's all good, but they're just excited to get back on the field.
No, I hear you. Now, we've had some announcements the last 2 days, and these are major names opting out. Rashawn Bateman, Minnesota wide receiver, and Micah Parsons, incredible linebacker at Penn State, opting out. Is there any talk about that down in your area?
Not really, Bill. I know that Derek Stingley and Jamar Chase and a lot of these guys would have a very big decision if the season were moved to the spring. It's not going to be. Okay, they're the defending national champs down here in the Bayou, Bill. They want to defend what they have. They believe, and they seriously believe this, regardless if anyone else believes them or not, they believe that they have a chance to go and do it. Jamar Chase is excited to come back. He's put on some weight. Derek Stingley's looking good. Bill, this team's looking really good. The offensive line's starting to come together. Defensive line's starting to come together. They want to defend what they did last season, so they're ready to go. I do not believe that Jamar Chase or Derek Stingley or a big name walked out, but we don't know. But from what I'm hearing, none of that's happening right now.
The question was – last hour, and Aliquippa Bob brought it up, do you think these announcements will set off some kind of chain reaction?
I'm sure it will. It just depends on who it will set off the chain for. But in the grand scheme of things, I really don't know, because what's going to happen here is if you have a highly ranked guy that's not going to get – really that much more of advancement, like Micah Parsons. Bill, he could be the first defensive player or first, you know, off the board. What is he going to gain other than injury here? I don't know that.
Right.
So I don't know if it's going to start a chain reaction, but we'll have to see. I think that it won't happen a lot in the SEC because the Big Ten, a lot of people are saying that, you know, we might not even have football. So maybe in some other conferences, but I don't think it's going to happen in the SEC, no.
My mind wanders when we get on these topics, so I'll take it to another level. Let's say a year from now everything's back to regular. I'm tired of the word normal, and I hate the phrase new normal, so I'm going to say regular. Could a player or would a player that's highly rated like Micah Parsons or whoever just opt out of their junior year, period? Just because I know where I'm going to get drafted. I know what I'm going to look like at the combine, and it's not worth the junior year. Could we see a guy do that, actually, at some point?
I think that we could. I think that we could. And Bill, I hate to say that they would be wrong in doing this because this is a different year. We're seeing guys in a regular season, and I get, you know, the new normal and all that. But in a regular season, you've seen guys like a Leonard Fournette, a Christian McCaffrey, sit out bowl games. You've seen them sit out meaningless games to get ready to go to the combine. If they're going to do that then, what makes us think that they're not going to do it now in a pandemic, in a worldwide pandemic? Some of these teams, Bill, with very talented athletes, they're not going to win a natty. They're not. And I think that they've come to a realization and they have people in their ear, and you have these agents that are in their ear, regardless if people, you know, think if it's right or not, hey, look, you need to get ready for the combine. Now, Tyrann Mathieu was a guy here at LSU. Now, he had some different things go on. He was in a little bit of trouble. But, Bill, he sat out an entire year, came back to the draft, and his rookie season in the NFL, look what he did. Look what he's doing now. He's changed his life around. So for some of these guys, it can be good. But for the vast majority of them, I do not believe they'll do it because they can't. You know, I'm going to throw a kid out in LSU, Terrace Marshall, wide receiver at LSU. He can't sit out. He has the first-round ability, first-round talent. He can't sit out. He's got to go out there and make it happen. So I think for a lot of these guys, they're going to go out and try to do something because they can make so much more money than some of the select few that would be in the top 10.
Yeah, because let's say you got a hotshot true junior, or it could be a third-year sophomore. Doesn't really matter. And they already know if you sign up with an agent, that agent is going to front you any money you need. I mean, whatever you – if you want a fancy car, they'll front you. You want nice bling, they'll front – whatever you want, they will front you the money. So you can go ahead and just get going. Now, you owe all that money back and then some, so I don't know how smart that is, but – there'll be players, I would think, in the future, I don't know how many, maybe just a choice few, that might opt to do something like that.
Well, Bill, although that is the case, I'm going to re-enter my name into the 2020 draft. Hopefully those agents can front me some money, too.
I hear you.
But, you know, I think you're right there. The agents are going to do that. You know, I think there's too many more players that we could sit here and rattle off that need this season to have their dreams upheld into the NFL. Jacoby Stevens is a guy that's from your area. He's one of those guys. Bill, he had a great season last year. He really did good. But if he wants to eke into that first round, he's got to have another good season. There were times last year he was out of position. We remember in the national championship game, he was out of position on a touchdown that Trevor Lawrence ran in. He can make a bigger name for himself, especially with Bo Pelini. The feel around here is that nobody's opting out. They don't, you know, they want to defend. The question will be, Bill, and the question that I have in my mind, let's say in, you know, what, week six, week seven, that LSU's out of it, how many kids opt out? Is it worth continuing going through this if I'm going to go into the NFL? Does Ja'Marr Chase continue throughout the season if LSU's 5-3, 4-3, 4-2? It doesn't make a lot of sense for him, and I don't know if it does, Bill, or if it doesn't, but that's one thing that I've been thinking about a lot versus guys going out and doing it now.
Got to be careful with Twitter, but I saw where my good friend Tommy Dienhart retweeted this, and here is the tweet. Sources say UConn suspends football for the season. Not that anybody was looking forward to UConn football there, Blake, but – I just saw this while you and I were talking.
Well, Bill, it's the same narrative, okay, that, you know, even the SEC came out with a statement yesterday. You can go through these walkthroughs starting August 16th and August 17th, but you know what you can't do in these walkthroughs, Bill? You can't use a football.
Right.
I don't get, okay, what – and I've been kind of patient with all of this, but I do not get for the life of me, how can you football without football? Without a football, what are you going to use, a Nerf football? You know, what are you going to do there? There's a lot of decisions going on here, Bill, and like you said, I want to be careful, that make absolutely no sense, none whatsoever. And it makes the question – and I even think the Pac-12 kids, although I don't think that they, you know, everything that they're saying is spot on. some things, Bill, that they are saying and asking for. A couple of them have been on here locally on the radio and saying, listen, we're just asking, what do you want us to do? And, Bill, they're not getting an answer. And they think that they're getting an answer, but in some aspects they're not. So, hey, you want me to play football, you want me to get ready for the season, but you don't want me to use the football to do that. How is that possible? So just this as a whole just seems to me so out of whack, and not a governing body just saying, hey, here's the guidelines that we put in place, either do them or not. And I feel like that's what the NCAA should have came out with. But, Bill, the Board of Governors, you know, as we all thought, would kick that can down the road, and they have.
Yeah, what I don't understand, and you touched on it there, eventually you have to play with the football. So how does it help you safety-wise to not play with the football when eventually you're going to have to play with the football? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And, Bill, these kids are getting tested. These coaches are getting tested. You're in a bubble with inside your university. So if all of you test negative, no one is positive for the coronavirus, but so then you can go out. Well, you can't use the football because it's going to spread the coronavirus. No one has it. No sense whatsoever. None. And that is the what everyone is getting upset about and angry about is because, well, if you're in a bubble, look at the NBA. Look at the NHL. They're kind of perfecting it at this point. Look at UFC. They have perfected it at this point. No one has corona. It makes no sense. And talking to a player who came into a live stream, I think it was either Friday or Monday, he said, how do you want me to football without football? And it's the same narrative. They're asking the same questions. And here's another thing, Bill, and I might be wrong here. No one in the SEC is going to adhere to this. You know that they're going to use a football. What's the SEC going to do? You can't go on their campus. You can't do anything to them. So what are you going to do? I feel like no one's going to listen to this anyway, and they're going to do it. But it's just that the narrative that the SEC is pushing out that you can't use a football, and there's certain things that you can't do, and you have to be socially distanced. Bill, Jamar Chase and Derek Stingley can go one-on-one and touch each other and lock each other down, but they can't. They have to be social distanced after the play. No sense.
By the way, Big Ten Network, and Clay just retweeted this, they will announce their schedule this morning. I think in less than an hour. So we're waiting on the SEC as well. Blake, I'll let you out the door on this, good friend. SEC schedule, we know they're going to play 10 games. At least the plan as of now is 10 games. Already know 8 teams that they play. They've got to add 2. One theory is that they'll just take the next 2 teams that would roll onto the schedule in future years and add them to the list to make it 10. And then the SEC said, don't necessarily take that as the gospel. We're still working on this. What do you think they will do?
I think they'll do exactly that, Bill. I think it makes it easier for them. Yeah. And I think it makes it fair. I mean, if you come out with a schedule, Bill, and you shift it, if you shift it up and you don't use the two that will come in from the seasons that we would have to look forward to, then you're going to have teams that say, you know, let's say, Bill, the LSU would play Kentucky in Tennessee, but let's say you put Georgia at Georgia for LSU on that schedule. How is that any benefit for LSU or Georgia? None whatsoever. And here's another question, Bill, that these SEC fans need to ask, and this will be the last part. If you're Florida, Alabama, would you want to play one A-plus team and then one D team, meaning like Vandy? Yeah. Or would you want to play two B to B-plus teams, which Kentucky and Tennessee would be? I think that it would make it just fair across the board, use the teams that in those next 2 seasons and go that route. But, Bill, I don't really have a lot of faith in the SEC, but we'll right now, so we'll see what they do.
I lied to you. I got one more here. There's a rumor, kind of like the Pac-12. The Pac-12 has already released schedules, and Southern Cal and UCLA rivalry game is the first game. There's a rumor that the SEC might do something like that. For example, Alabama and Auburn play September 26. Do you think there's anything to that?
It would be a live, you know, it would be smart for him, Bill. It would be a very live first week of college football. That might be smart by them now. if they did that. I know that a lot of talk around here, Bill, has been LSU Ole Miss starting September 26th. Outside of Alabama, Bill, LSU doesn't like Ole Miss. They hate them. I mean, and that's just the truth. You start the season off with LSU Ole Miss, it's going to get some pop around here. I promise you that. That's something that to watch out for. I like that, Bill.
Tell everybody, how they can get all of your information, including being on the Chris Landry Twitch TV channel.
Yep. You can follow me on Twitter at AYS Sports or on Facebook at Are You Serious Sports. We go live from there every night from 7 to 8 p.m. You can also follow us and watch us on Chris Landry Football on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/Chris Landry Football. Guys, we're bringing on so many good stations, not just SEC, Pac-12, ACC, Big Ten. It's been phenomenal. Go follow us there. That's twitch.tv/Chris Landry Football. And everywhere we're on Twitter, everywhere you listen to podcasts, you can go listen to us there as well.
Good stuff, Blake. Appreciate it, man.
Bill, have a good day, sir.
We'll get to this after the break, but Doug up in Pennsylvania linked this. The Hartford, that's Connecticut, Current newspaper is confirming UConn cancels the 2020 football season. We'll get into that when we come back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Watching traffic build pretty good here out of Wilson County. Making your way up through Mount Juliet on I-40 going westbound towards Hermitage. Traffic's looking good. 65 right now. Coming down through Madison, passing Briarly Parkway. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check them out at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Don't let unsold inventory drag your business down. With Barter Nashville, you can convert your excess inventory or service capacity to trade dollars that we store in your online account. These trade dollars allow you to barter for the goods and services you need with the goods and services you already have, helping you preserve cash resources. Trade dollars can also be exchanged for stays at worldwide luxury hotels and resorts, as well as brand awareness and advertising leads for your company. Visit barternashville.com to learn more about how bartering can take your company to the next level.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
In my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning: partly sunny with a high of 84, partly cloudy tonight, low 65, mostly sunny tomorrow, high 87, partly cloudy tomorrow night, low 68, Friday sunny, 92. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network and Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Sky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Hashtag fat side up, tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
mega news coming at us fast, as has been the case. Tommy Dienhart, who was with us last week, very, very good. I saw him retweet this, and then Doug also linked the Hartford Current newspaper. Headlines, UConn cancels 2020 football season amid coronavirus concerns. Now, the schedule for Connecticut was already in trouble because games with Indiana, Illinois, Ole Miss, and Maine were canceled. Games against North Carolina and Virginia appeared unlikely as well. Connecticut, in case you don't know this, they are once again independent. They're not in a league. They were in the AAC, which was the Big East. AAC. And they decided to go independent after the 19 season, after the season most recently completed. And the schedule was going to be an uphill battle regardless. And then, of course, they're in a region that is and has concerns. I mean, I guess you could say everybody has some concerns, but that has been canceled. Connecticut football. And again, Connecticut football is really not an entity. It's a very bad product. Now, again, I feel sorry for the players, but it's a product that's not watchable as well. But sad news there. I don't want to hear that stuff. Steven, down in Louisiana. Bill, you think UConn canceling football had more to do with them being an independent? Likely unable to fill out a schedule more than safety? I'd say it'd be a combination of, it'd be a cocktail of both, probably. Yeah, I mean, trying to get a schedule together and then the virus concerns probably added up to the hell with it. Brent, Bill, great job by Blake on the show. Blake's very, very good. I will endorse that tweet for sure. Absolutely endorse it. There's another story, and I'm going to have to pull it up here, from Sam McEwen. And he is with the Omaha, Nebraska newspaper. Now, as you know, Nebraska's in the Big Ten. It's taken me a while to get used to that, even though it's been a while now. Still taking me a little time to get used to that. Says the Chicago Tribune and ESPN both reported that Commissioner Kevin Warren, he's the new commissioner of the Big Ten, Jim Delaney, all those years, he's moved back here to the 615. Jim Delaney reported again that Commissioner Kevin Warren has been talking to league athletes in the past several days to gauge their thoughts. Big Ten has yet to announce its schedule. Now, it's supposed to do it this morning. Clay linked that earlier. Very soon, during the show, I think we get these schedules. Some of you in the audience, if you see this, please link it for me. Because I'm the guy sitting here yapping on the air. It may slip past me. Says a letter sent to league ADs last week brought up the possibility of having no season. Quote, if we determine as a conference, we're talking Big Ten, that it is not prudent to compete in the fall of 2020, we will not do so. The article says the line would not have been in the letter. Letter would not have even been written at all if cancellation weren't an option on the table. Then over the past 3 days, news broke on two fronts. Some Pac-12 players launched a media campaign threatening to boycott about some concerns. And also the Rutgers football coronavirus outbreak, according to NewJersey.com, ballooned to 28 players from 15 on Monday. The outbreak was traced back to a party. Rutgers, Michigan State, and Northwestern have all had their workouts as of Tuesday night halted because of issues related to the outbreaks. One of the league's best players, Rashawn Bateman, is opting out. So is Micah Parsons. That wasn't part of the article. Also, the mother of Indiana football player Brady Freeney took to Facebook to say her son went to the ER with breathing issues related to COVID-19 and was, according to her post, dealing with possible heart issues. So on and so forth. So, that's from the Big Ten. Yeah, that's from the B1G. Now, again, that's an article that was on Tuesday. This morning, the Big Ten's releasing their schedule. Now, again, things are fluid. But there are people writing about considerations from the Big Ten not playing at all. I don't think that's the plan, but I don't know if it won't end up being the plan. I guess that's where we're at right now. But that is an interesting take there from the writer there in Omaha, Nebraska. Tell you what, I'll get the call. We're at the bottom of the hour here. John, hang tight if you can. We'll get the call when we come back. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's picked up quite a bit in the last few minutes here on 40 East, coming up through Kingston Springs out of Dixon County. Traffic's looking good right now on 24 as you make your way in from Jolton. It's picked up quite a bit now on 24 up through the Hickory Hollow area. You got all that traffic flow coming in from Murfreesboro. Prince's Hot Chicken was the first hot chicken place in Middle Tennessee. Check them out online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
And now, Combs Paving is reminding Americans to stand tall and show support to the brave men and women of our U.S. military. This salute is brought to you by Combs Paving. For concrete and paving driveways, outdoor living spaces, crack repairs, and much more, trust Combs Paving. Call today at 615-238-1786. That's 615-238-1786. Combs Paving, thanking their customers and looking forward to seeing you.
COVID-19 is testing all of us, our communities, our economy, and our way of life. You can help Tennessee win this fight to protect you and your loved ones. Free COVID-19 testing is available at your local county health department, even if you don't have symptoms. When in doubt, get a test. To find a testing facility, please visit tn.gov/get a test.
Brought to you by the State of Tennessee, Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell. From Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com. Got biscuits, kitchen notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
John, welcome in, sir.
How are you doing, Bill?
Good, John. Appreciate it, bud. Can you hear me, John? Hello?
I guess stemming from some of the stuff that's come up this week. But you just mentioned from the article, Rashad Bateman has just opted out, which came out yesterday morning from Minnesota, one of these very good receivers. And it's kind of sad that he won't be there because Minnesota kind of financed the team this year, and he was going to be one of the key parts of it.
Hey, John, I'm hearing you, but you're a little muffled. Could you get closer to the phone? Sounds like you're distant.
Is that any better?
That is a little bit better, yes. But go ahead. I heard what you said, though, about bait. Yes.
All right. So, couple questions based on this week. Rashad Bateman had opted out yesterday, like you just mentioned from the article. Very good receiver, by the way.
Yep.
Kind of sad because Minnesota's finally got a team this year. He was going to be a key part of it. That's not going to happen now. Caleb Farley's the other guy, Virginia Tech, that's opted out. So the first question is, how many guys are you expecting to see opt out of the season to train for the NFL?
Well, and Micah Parsons has opted out, and I mean you're more of a draft guru than I am. I don't pay much attention to it, but Parsons could very well be the first defensive player taken, right?
Well, that's what Draft Twitter was saying. There's some concerns there, Bill, with him. But actually, I didn't know Parsons. When did that happen?
He did it overnight, late yesterday, somewhere in there.
Okay, that's probably why I didn't know about that one yet. It's going to be a weird college year, and we'll see. I'm not sure what to expect from it. I guess the other question is, Caleb Farley, when he opted out of Virginia Tech, he waited a few days and then came out with all those accusations about the way that the team is handling the COVID protocol. So,
right.
How serious is that? Is that going to hurt Virginia Tech? And is that something we need to be concerned about?
Well, I mean, now you're talking about just other players opting out because they're seeing this, or is that what you mean?
Well, any repercussions that could potentially happen from it.
From players opting out, you mean?
Basically, across football, period.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, now, look, not that many players are all that attractive to the draft, but some might still choose to opt out just because of concerns. And that has happened. For example, this kid at Vanderbilt we've been having fun with, nobody's ever heard of, the kicker who transferred from Columbia, hadn't even kicked since 17, I don't think, was a grad transfer at Vanderbilt. He's opted out. Oren Milstein or whatever his name is. Nobody knows him. But, I don't know. I mean, but, yes, there could be a domino effect here. If players see this, maybe some will opt out. Maybe some won't. But, you know, if you're Micah Parsons, you're pretty much, even though it'd be good to have some junior tape on him, the scouts already pretty much know what they're getting in him, and he's going to look really good at the combine, if we have a combine, obviously. So, no worries with a guy like that.
Fair enough. Okay, so
more so toward other departments. Like, do you think other players are going to speak out? Are we going to find out anything about other schools not following protocols like Virginia
Tech? Oh, yeah. Colorado State, there's a dust-up at Colorado State now. There's a lot of disagreements on what's going on there, plus and minus. But it's popping up. The mother of the lineman at Indiana, we're hearing this at various places. And it's new. I mean, new cases, new situations. Every seems like almost every day right now.
Fair enough. Okay, so real fast, because I didn't listen yesterday. I'll be honest with you, I got busy. TCU and Gary Patterson.
Yeah, I saw that. Apparently, Gary Patterson, he had a team meeting. I know this, and a player or two mentioned that he used the N-word in suggesting that they shouldn't be using the N-word, but he used it. And this has been agreed upon by the players, too, the context here. But still, he used the word. So he's talked to the team, I guess apologized, and they're moving forward. Now, again, today's a new day. Who knows? But that's the story in a quick synopsis from Gary Patterson.
Gotcha. So it's not a big deal to you at all, whatsoever.
Well, I'm not saying it's not a big deal, but it's been taken into context that he was – now, he didn't do the right protocol in his scolding of using the word. By using the word, that was wrong. But I from what I've seen – now, again, there could be more there – but from what I've seen, it's agreed upon that the context in which he was using it wasn't him using it flippantly at somebody. It was repeating something, and it seems to be agreed upon there. Now, it's also agreed upon that what he did was wrong, but it doesn't seem to be implicating that he was just a flat-out racist going around using the word, if that makes sense.
Right, right. So was Dylan Jordan a big recruit? I don't remember him at all in the slightest. The guy
I don't
on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't recall. Yeah, I don't recall.
All right, cool. Thanks, Bill.
Okay. Vaughn Broadnax. Bill, does UConn's decision not to play football this fall mean that even if they did play this fall, that anybody would have noticed? That is spot on. Because UConn football is a disaster. Now, again, if you're just joining us, UConn has announced they're not playing. UConn is recently back as an independent, the way they were, 20 years ago, whenever. And they were in the Big East AAC. And then they announced after, I don't even know when it was, but they, at the end of 19, they were going to go back to being an independent. So they are an independent. And they announced, it hit during the show. I saw it from Tommy Deanhart, and then Doug up there retweeted it. But they announced no football. They had little to nothing left of a schedule. Is one, and concerns as well. Here's Doug's tweet, another one from him up there. Says, with leagues going conference-only scheduling and the state of Connecticut putting 38 states on the 14-day quarantine list, the only remaining games UConn could have played were UMass September 3rd and Army November 28th. So apparently it was just not coming together at all. Scheduling and the virus concerns. We do. Crazy Charlie, at some point, we got to get Jeff and the Burrows virus pronunciation on the show. That's got to be added to the audio. Jim in West Palm, I believe, is checking in. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Bill, you just answered my question. I was doing some work, and I saw that pop up about UConn, and I really didn't understand the reasoning. And I was just like, can we just, like, kick UConn out? You know, I mean, they have they have no, you know, desire to be part of the big boys. So, you know, but I didn't know it was a thing with them being independent and not be able to pick up other teams and stuff. But I mean, seriously, UConn should not be with the big boys in the first place, and they should just drop down to a lower division, I would think. You know?
Remember 20 years, wasn't it like 99 or 2000? They were D2 or what we call FCS now, and then they moved up. And actually, they had some years where they were pretty good, and now they're just god-awful. They're just
Yeah, that one coach that went to Maryland, and I forgot his name, but he had him going good for a while. But
he's back. He's back at Connecticut. Yeah. Randy Etzel.
Yeah, yeah.
Randy Etzel.
And like, I don't even know that because they're just so not part of it, you know?
Right.
And to show you, you know, the wisdom of the sorry commissioner, John Swofford of the ACC, he made a push to bring UConn into the ACC. And thank God some schools, you know, stepped up to make sure that that didn't happen. But could you imagine that? Another worthless football team like UConn being brought into our conference, and you wonder why the ACC is $20 million behind in revenue to the big boys, you know?
Amazing.
Old Swofford's never understood that football pays the bills. You know, I swear that guy still thinks it's like in the 1980s and Michael Jordan's dribbling the basketball for North Carolina and Patrick Ewing's at Georgetown, and he just has never understood that you got that football pays the bills, and his expansion, you know, it might have killed off the Big East, but I mean, it's just really crippled what could be a really good football conference. But you know how I feel about him. Good riddance that he's retiring, and hopefully we'll bring in a football-minded commissioner here, you know, because $20 million a year in TV revenue is going to be a big deal, especially to a team like Florida State that, you know, we're not rolling in money. We don't have the big endowment, and we need every bit that we can to continue being what we are. Well, Bill, that's all I got for you, but
all right, Jim.
I haven't been on as much because back to the real world with working, but man, I sure love the show, and you're the best in the business.
Always good to hear from you, sir. Appreciate it, man.
You take care.
Brett McMurphy, UConn AD David Benedict. How many of you knew that was their AD? Doug did, but most of you don't. After receiving guidance from state and public health officials and consulting with football student athletes, we've decided we will not compete this season. Safety challenges created by COVID-19 place football student athletes at an unacceptable level of risk. Brad, as in Brad Power Sports, had them ranked number 125 on his power ranking. He actually thought they would be improved, though. That's an improvement. You can only go to 130, right? He had him improved, though. He says, what a drop from the Fiesta Bowl appearance that they had just 10 years ago. That seems like 1,000 years ago. All right, need to break here. Coming right back, Berg will join us. Yeah, Berg is back. Top of hour number 3, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's heavy, but it's moving here on 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. We've seen a couple of minor accidents in the last hour or so. They've been pretty much just that minor as traffic really starts to get busy through that construction zone coming out of Wilson County on 40 westbound, passing 840. Princess Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check them out. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on DeMumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French fresh-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ, but it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Brad Keselowski dominated and took home the win from New Hampshire. Up next, a double shot of Michigan this coming weekend for the Cup Series. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Brad Keselowski, and I get my NASCAR news on The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. It would make us smile. Every single weekday right here.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning: partly sunny with a high of 84, partly cloudy tonight, low 65, mostly sunny tomorrow, high 87, partly cloudy tomorrow night, low 68, Friday sunny, 92. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network and Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Sky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
College sports. Bill King knows a few things.
All right, the Big Ten schedule is out. I just saw it tweeted. Now, this is in kind of a grid, so I'll go through just a little bit of this. For example, the Ohio State-Michigan game, if I'm looking at this correctly, will be October 24th. It will not be at the end of the season. It'll be right almost in the middle of the season. Now, again, if I'm looking at this right, it's a calendar grid-like thing, and I'm just kind of doing this on the fly. Yeah, Buckeyes opener is on a Thursday night. That'd be, what, September 3rd? Is that right? Don't hold me to the date. And that's the Illinois game. They play Rutgers, Purdue, Indiana, then a bye week. Nebraska, Sparty, Michigan, I mentioned. That's on October the 24th, I think. Then they get Maryland, Penn State, another bye week, and then Iowa. I think that's the way. Again, I haven't had any time to go through this, and it's not listed the way you typically see schedules listed. So let me give you Michigan really quick. Purdue is the opener. Minnesota, Penn State, Rutgers, Sparty, a bye. Indiana, Ohio State. This is not listed either, home or away. Although it's going to be listed, the games that we knew about, where they originally were supposed to be played. Wisconsin, Maryland, bye week, and then Northwestern. But you can pull it up anywhere. Just the one that I pulled up here is not the best one for radio. Let me retweet it, though. nonetheless. There you go. You can make heads or tails of it. Cosby Cattleman, what's up?
Love, guys. Bonjour, Monsieur King.
Bonjour, what's happening?
Thought I'd get in before your fruit roll-up guy.
Yes, he'll be up in just, yes, that's true.
Hey, Bill, I was going to mention the fact I was kind of looking at ESPN on that UConn stuff. They went to the Fiesta Bowl. That kind of blows my mind thinking about it. You know what they might have thought, Bill? Ole Miss already canceled on them, right? They're, the big power schools already canceled on them.
On who?
UConn.
Yeah, like just by virtue of conference rules, conference-only schedules, things like that, yes.
Yeah, they were probably needing some of those big paydays, I'm guessing, like Ole Miss canceled on them and blah, I think Illinois or somebody. They might have just looked at it and said, man, this testing's not cheap. Why screw with it? Might have been a financial decision.
Good point.
Just
yeah,
kick
good
it down
point.
The can. I mean, you know, they're in a flux. They're trying to go back to the Big East. They're not even in a conference this year. They don't have any games. They might have just said decision might have kind of been made for them. They,
well,
know, I was going to pretty it up, and so they're not going to come out and say we don't want to pay for the testing. It might have been as simple as that.
Well, Doug said up there, and Doug's in administration, sports administration up there, he said that they only had left two games, and one was in early September and one was a late November game. They literally had two games left on their schedule that had remained in place.
Well, that's kind of Frankenstein anyway. That's not even a season. Hey, Bill, that Ziegler deal come out of San Diego yesterday. That's been making some national waves. I called your boy Jake Wimberly down there in Jackson about it. He knew about it. That went national pretty quickly. He put old Ramogi Hugo. He exposed him, didn't he?
Now, who? Say that. I'm confused. Who is this?
Ziegler, the guy out there at San Diego on the Pac-12 mess.
Oh, yeah. Talking about, yes. The article from the San Diego Union. Yes.
Yeah.
That was an excellent article. That was incredibly well done.
Bill, I know the bean counters can get it, but I know you don't generally read articles, but you ought to just take 5 minutes and read your audience.
No, I did. I read it yesterday on the show.
You did read it yesterday? I missed that part.
Oh, yeah. I was promoting it. I was championing it. I was doing everything.
That's the best thing I've read in a long time. It's something you don't see either. It's kind
of I was shocked that came out of California and was allowed to come out of there.
Does the Ivy League, those football teams, do they get on TV or are they on stadium or where do you go to turn on like a Harvard-Yale game?
Well, of course, they've canceled their season, you know, but if you were to watch, you can catch – they're on TV somewhere. I don't know. I've seen a couple of their games or rivalry games on ESPN. Not a lot, though.
I bet an Ivy League game would be a lot of fun to go to.
Like,
I've heard Suwannee's a lot of fun to go to a football game.
Like Harvard-Yale, I think, is annually on ESPN.
Okay.
But that's a big rivalry game for them.
One last thing for you, Bill, before the top of the hour hits. You heard this wild news coming out of Knoxville on Jim Clayton yesterday, or I guess it was last night or two nights back now.
Who's Jim Clayton?
Clayton Holmes, the mobile home guy.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay. No, I have not heard this wild rumor.
No, it's not a rumor. Get back there. You can pull it up, Sentinel or WBIR, wherever you want to look. Okay, four guys on a helicopter right out there in front of Sequoia Hills, which is the Knoxville Bellmead, the oldest, best neighborhood in Knoxville.
And it's the country club of choice, too.
Yeah, right there on the Tennessee River.
Yeah.
Four guys in the helicopter, Jim Clayton and his twin brother, who's also apparently a successful businessman, was the pilot, and two other guys. Get this, Bill, the damn helicopter crashed in the Tennessee River. The bystanders in Sequoia Hill said the propeller blades went in like 1,000 pieces. But here's the wild part. Three of the dudes, a pontoon boat went and got them. Three of the dudes got rescued, didn't even go to the hospital for treatment. They walked away from it. And the pilot, Jim Clayton's brother, died.
Oh, gosh. I didn't know that.
Can you imagine that? Damn, a helicopter crash, four dudes, three walk away from it, don't even go to the hospital? Right there in Sequoia Hills, Tennessee River.
Pull I've been there.
WBIR there. Look at it on WBIR during the break. hey, last thing for you, Bill. Did you get on Earth Cam yet?
No, I forgot. I will.
You need to check that out. I might have a heads up coming for you. Something just a little you may know about.
Okay.
See ya.
Vaughn Broadnax points out on this Big Ten schedule grid, and I just noticed this. I didn't read the fine print below. So, if the game is in white, it's at home, gray away. So, if you're looking at it, I didn't notice that part. I was just too busy trying to go down the schedule. Thank you, Vaughn. Vaughn read the fine print. I didn't. So anyways, but the Buckeyes and Michigan almost in the middle of the schedule, just past the midway point, probably about the two-thirds point, something like that. So things are getting, hey, folks, things are getting really weird. So the Clayton Holmes guy goes down in a crash, and unfortunately loses his brother. I hate that part. I did not know that. Anyways, hour three coming up. Berg will be with us, I think. I'm pretty sure he will.